Chapter 19, Catechism on Hope. My children, we are going to speak of hope. That is what makes the happiness of man on earth. Some people in this world hope too much, and others do not hope enough. Some say, "I am going to commit this sin again. It will not cost me more to confess 4 than 3. It is like a child saying to his father, "I am going to give you 4 blows. It will cost me no more than to give you 1. I shall only have to ask your pardon." That is the way men behave towards the good God. They say, "This year I shall amuse myself again. I shall go to dances and to the alehouse, and next year I will be converted. The good God will be sure to receive me when I choose to return to him. He is not so cruel as the priests tell us." No, the good God is not cruel, but he is just. Do you think he will adapt himself in everything to your will? Do you think that he will embrace you after you have despised him all your life? Oh, no, indeed. There is a certain measure of grace and of sin after which God withdraws himself. What would you say of a father who would treat a good child, and one not so good, in the same manner? You would say the father is not just. Well, God would not be just if he made no difference between those who serve him and those who offend him. My children, there is so little faith now in the world that people either hope too much or they despair. Some say, "I have done too much evil, the good God cannot pardon me." My children, this is a great blasphemy. It is putting a limit to the mercy of God, which has no limit. It is infinite. You may have done evil enough to lose the souls of a whole parish, and if you confess, if you are sorry for having done this evil and resolve not to do it again, the good God will have pardoned you. A priest was once preaching on hope and on the mercy of the good God. He reassured others, but he himself despaired. After the sermon, a young man presented himself, saying, "Father, I am come to confess to you." The priest answered, "I am willing to hear your confession." The other recounted his sins, after which he added, "Father, I have done much evil. I am lost." "What do you say, my friend? We must never despair." The young man rose, saying, "Father, you wish me not to despair, and what do you do?" This was a ray of light. The priest, all astonishment, drove away that thought of despair, became a religious and a great saint. The good God had sent him an angel under the form of a young man to show him that we must never despair. The good God is as prompt to grant us pardon when we ask it of him as a mother is to snatch her child out of a fire. Chapter 20, Catechism on the Cardinal Virtues. Prudence shows us what is most pleasing to God and most useful to the salvation of our soul. We must always choose the most perfect. 2 good works present themselves to be done, one in favor of a person we love, the other in favor of a person who has done us some harm. Well, we must give the preference to the latter. There is no merit in doing good when a natural feeling leads us to do it. A lady, wishing to have a widow to live with her to take care of, asked St. Athanasius to find her one among the poor. Afterwards, meeting the bishop, she reproached him that he had treated her ill, because this person was too good, and gave her nothing to do by which she could gain heaven, and she begged him to give her another. The saint chose the worst he could find, of a cross, grumbling temper, never satisfied with what was done for her. This is the way we must act, for there is no great merit in doing good to one who values it, who thanks us and is grateful. There are some persons who think they are never treated well enough. They seem as if they had a right to everything. They are never pleased with what is done for them. They repay everybody with ingratitude. Well, those are the people to whom we should do good by preference. We must be prudent in all our actions and seek not our own taste, but what is most pleasing to the good God. Suppose you have a franc that you intend to give for a mass. You see a poor family in distress, in want of bread. It is better to give your money to these wretched people, because the holy sacrifice will still be offered. The priest will not fail to say holy mass, while these poor people may die of hunger. You would wish to pray to the good God, to pass your whole day in the church, but you think it would be very useful to work for some poor people that you know, who are in great need. That is much more pleasing to God than your day passed before the holy tabernacle. Temperance is another cardinal virtue. We can be temperate in the use of our imagination by not letting it gallop as fast as it would wish. We can be temperate with our eyes, temperate with our mouth. Some people constantly have something sweet and pleasant in their mouth. We can be temperate with our ears, not allowing them to listen to useless songs in conversation, temperate in smelling. Some people perfume themselves to such a degree as to make those about them sick. Temperate with the hands. Some people are always washing them when it is hot and handling things that are soft to the touch. In short, we can practice temperance with our whole body, this poor machine, by not letting it run away like a horse without bit or bridle, but checking it and keeping it down. Some people lie buried there in their beds. They are glad not to sleep, that they may the better feel how comfortable they are. The saints were not like that. I do not know how we are ever to get where they are. Well, if we are saved, we shall stay infinitely long in purgatory, while they will fly straight to heaven to see the good God. That great saint, St. Charles Borromeo, had in his apartment a fine cardinal's bed which everybody saw. But besides that, there was one which nobody could see, made of bundles of wood, and that was the one he made use of. He never warmed himself. When people came to see him, they remarked that he placed himself so as to not feel the fire. That is what the saints were like. They lived for heaven and not for earth. They were all heavenly. As for us, we are all earthly. Oh, how I like those little mortifications that are seen by nobody, such as rising a quarter of an hour sooner, rising for a little while in the night to pray. But some people think of nothing but sleeping. There was once a solitary who had built himself a royal palace in the trunk of an oak tree. He had placed thorns inside of it, and he had fastened three stones over his head, so that when he raised himself or turned over, he might feel the stones or the thorns. And we think of nothing but finding good beds that we may sleep at our ease. We may refrain from warming ourselves. If we are sitting uncomfortably, we need not try to place ourselves better. If we are walking in our garden, we may deprive ourselves of some fruit that we should like. In preparing the food, we need not eat the little bits that offer themselves. We may deprive ourselves of seeing something pretty, which attracts our eyes, especially in the streets of great towns. There is a gentleman who sometimes comes here. He wears two pairs of spectacles that he may see nothing. But some heads are always in motion, some eyes are always looking about. When we are going along the streets, let us fix our eyes on our Lord carrying his cross before us, on the Blessed Virgin who is looking at us, on our guardian angel who is by our side. How beautiful is this interior life! It unites us with the good God. Therefore, when the devil sees a soul that is seeking to attain to it, he tries to turn him aside from it by filling his imagination with a thousand fancies. A good Christian does not listen to that. He goes always forward in perfection, like a fish plunging into the depths of the sea. As for us, alas, we drag ourselves along like a leech in the mud. There were two saints in the desert who had sown thorns into all their clothes, and we seek for nothing but comfort. Yet we wish to go to heaven, but with all our luxuries, without having any annoyance. That is not the way the saints acted. They sought every way of mortifying themselves, and in the midst of all their privations, they tasted infinite sweetness. How happy are those who love the good God! They do not lose a single opportunity of doing good. Misers employ all the means in their power to increase their treasure. The saints do the same for the riches of heaven. They are always heaping up. We shall be surprised at the day of judgment to see souls so rich.